Welcome to Soulful Insights, the podcast where we explore spiritual truths that empower you to live authentically, powerfully, and aligned with your highest self. I'm your host, Tandy, and I'm honored to have you here with me today. I'm really excited about this podcast. I think it's an extremely important discussion that needs to be had. And I'm going to start with a question. What if the very spiritual teachings meant to empower you are actually keeping you stuck in pain, shame, and disempowered? Today, we're calling out the spiritual gaslighting that hides behind the spirituality movement. Because not everything painful in life is a lesson you signed up for. And it's time we say that out loud. I'm going to be the one to do it. So, first of all, I want to talk about the dark side of soul contracts. This is one of the most damaging phrases I hear in spiritual circles all the time, and it is this: you chose this. And in fact, I actually had, as I was leaving high demand religion, I was going through a lot of things, I've been through a lot of things in my life, and I was meeting with a spiritual coach, and I was really upset and really confused, and this was exactly what she said to me: you chose this. It's often said with the best of intentions. They're trying to offer you meaning to your suffering or maybe help you feel more empowered that it was something you chose. But when you are sitting with someone who's survived sexual abuse, they've lost a child, survived a brutal attack, or they live with chronic illness, telling them they chose this is not comforting. It's just plain cruel. This belief shows up both in subtle and glaring ways in the spirituality community, and in fact, it does in religious communities at times as well. So take, for example, a spiritual teacher that tells a woman who was abused as a child, "Your soul wanted to learn strength through adversity." Now, you may hear this in religious circles: God wants to teach you strength through adversity. So this can go both ways. But I'm really seeing a lot of this in the spirituality community, and because that is where I have kind of shifted from religion into this space, I want to call this out. There's no excuse for this kind of behavior, especially from those who call themselves spiritual leaders. The truth is, you do not know what her soul chose. You were not there. You do not remember any pre-birth planning session. You do not know what was agreed upon, if anything, because you weren't there, okay? You don't remember. She doesn't remember. You don't remember. It is highly inappropriate and frankly unethical, in my opinion, to speak with authority over someone else's pain, as if you have divine insight into the contracts of their soul. You don't. And a lot of people that work with Akashic Records, a lot of people that work in this spiritual space will often say these things with authority. Regardless of whether you feel an impression or not that they agreed to this, don't say it. There is no benefit that you're giving them by saying, "Your soul chose this." Just don't. As a hypnotherapist, I also want to talk about the regression therapy that's really, really popular and really common right now. And I want to speak to this because throughout my education, when you are in that type of state, it is highly unpredictable and also easily influenced by suggestion. Your subconscious is very influenced by suggestion. Just the fact that you have a purpose or a reason for going into this hypnotic state and your subconscious mind knows what that reason is, it is probably going to spit out information based on what your intention is. The subconscious mind is very creative and symbolic by nature. It deals in stories and metaphors. So simply by suggesting in a session that you're going to uncover something, it can lead the subconscious to generate metaphors and stories along those lines. And these are not necessarily literal memories, and we cannot prove that they are. We can't. And this is why it is very dangerous and irresponsible to claim certainty about what someone's soul journey is. You just don't know. Maybe the subconscious was giving a metaphor. Can this person learn from that metaphor? Absolutely. We have to approach these conversations with humility, compassion, and care. The only responsible way to support someone who's experienced childhood abuse is to honor their feelings, validate their emotions, and hold sacred space for their pain. We really want to be careful about when you are in a hypnotherapy session. The only ethical way of handling when stories come up, memories, supposed memories come up, the only way that we can handle that is say, this is metaphorical, and allow that person to create their own interpretation of what that metaphor is and if it means something to them. We should never infer, this is from a past life. It just is not ethical. So we really need to be really careful about inferring certainty on anything. And when we're dealing with people who are having anxiety and fears or struggling with childhood abuse or anything like that, so I'm going to kind of pivot from the hypnotherapy aspect of this and move back into the feelings and emotions of people who have been through traumatic events and how those are handled in the spiritual community. So when someone has gone through any type of difficult situations in their life, from smaller things to very traumatic things, if they feel bitter and angry about what they've been through, it's 100% valid. If they're struggling with PTSD, anxiety, or grief, it's 100% valid. Their experience deserves to be witnessed, not spiritualized or explained away. Because real healing does not begin with inferring explanations. Oh, you chose this in your pre-birth planning. It's in your soul contract. No, you don't know that. The only ethical way of responding is beginning with validation. All of their feelings, all of their experience is valid. This is their own. It is not yours. It is not yours. This pain is not yours. This experience is not yours. And it is not yours to tell them how to experience it. End of story. You do not have the right to assign meaning to anyone else's pain. You do not get to narrate their suffering through your own spiritual lens. And I'm tired of hearing it. And that is why today I went off the rails. I was laying in bed, and this is in the early wee hours of the morning sometimes. I'm unable to sleep, and I will get spiritual downloads. And this was the download that I got, was that we needed to talk about when spirituality becomes abusive. And so that's why we are talking about this. So let me go on. A man paralyzed in an accident might be told by a spiritual person that he chose the experience before birth to evolve his soul. Once again, you do not have irrefutable proof that this man chose anything. And unless you have full access to the divine archives of his soul, spoiler alert, you don't. Even if you're reading Akashic Records, you don't. The only responsible, compassionate response is to support him, to witness his experience, and to allow him to grieve, rage, hope, or heal in whatever way he needs to do that. That's it. The thing is, we may have access to Akashic Records, but we also have to realize that we have a human brain. And everything that we experience, even spiritual connections, I'm not denying those spiritual connections, those access to records. We all have that, but it gets filtered through our conscious mind, through our own biases, our own experiences, our own programming, and we all have our own map of the world based on our programming. And so if you had a Christian individual, they would interpret things from their Christian narrative. They would not believe that you had a soul contract, that you lived before you came here. But we may have someone who believes in reincarnation, so they're going to interpret it based on that lens. That's the problem. It's normal, it's natural, it doesn't mean you're wrong or you're bad, but you have to understand that you do have a bias, you do have a map of the world, and you need to not try to apply that to someone else. If you believe in soul contracts, great, that's fine for you. but don't apply meaning to someone else's suffering based on that, because all it does is cause emotional and spiritual bypassing to this person who is suffering. You're not helping by saying that. And in the fact that you're not helping is the only fact that needs to be understood. Again, another scenario. A woman struggling with infertility may be told it was her soul's lesson in surrender. Again, religious people do this as well. This pattern reveals the spiritual community's addiction to emotional bypassing. I want to say that. Again, addiction to emotional bypassing. It just boggles my mind. There is no trauma-informed situation here at all. In this scenario, no emotion is valid. No anger, no grief, no devastation, only sanitized acceptance. No humanity is allowed. The underlying message, you chose it, sit down, shut up, and smile through it. That's what you get out of the spiritual community. I'm sorry, it is what you get. Sorry, I had to take a sip of my coffee. It might sound enlightened on the surface, but let's call it what it really is. Spiritual gaslighting. Emotional bypassing. It dismisses pain. It invalidates lived experience. It shifts blame onto the victim or the person suffering. It blames the victim for violence, loss, and tragedy. How is that helpful? And let me tell you, I don't care what your spirituality is. I don't care how enlightened you think you are. I don't care if you're Kundalini awakening. I don't care what you say you have. If this is the way you approach the world, there is no enlightenment within you. I am sorry. I don't care what you think you've experienced. If you cannot sit with someone in their suffering, you are not enlightened by any stretch of the imagination. The core issue with this belief system is that it turns trauma into a soul contract and suffering into a cosmic syllabus, a lesson you apparently signed up for. But guess what? This needs to be shouted from the rooftops. Learning does not require pain. We don't know what this person signed up for. We do not. We don't. And I'm tired of people saying that they do. We don't know. But learning, one thing I do know, learning doesn't require pain. And we have mountains of scientific evidence showing that children learn exponentially better when they feel safe, supported, and emotionally secure. Our brain does not retain information when it is trapped in fight, flight, or freeze responses. There is absolutely no legitimate reason to glorify pain, suffering, or abuse, or tragedy as necessary for spiritual growth. There's no reason to do that. It doesn't help anyone. Claiming that devastation is the best teacher doesn't sound divine or spiritual at all. It sounds like the words of an abusive stepfather who says, "I'm hurting you for your own good. I'm spanking you for your own good. I'll teach you a lesson." That's what it sounds like. And then we wonder why people say, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything." Why don't they want to believe in God? This reason right here. This is the reason. Why do people not even want to join the spiritual community? Because this is how we treat people when they're suffering. We do the same thing the religious people do, just with different words. It's not spiritual. It's just abuse dressed up in spiritual language. That is what it is. And it gets even worse. This is the latest thing that I've seen in the spiritual community. And I literally, my jaw was on the floor. I could not even process this. The abuser is merely a character playing a role you gave him. I know that sounds shocking, right? This is what the spiritual community is peddling these days. Essentially, what it says is, whoever harmed you, you wanted to experience that, and they just agreed to do it for you. So let's get into it. This ideology subtly implies that the abuser is simply playing a role you gave them. This makes it harder for survivors to validate their anger, seek justice, or even fully grieve. This is the greatest failure and the most dangerous cruelty of the soul contract belief system. It teaches that the abuser, the perpetrator, is just fulfilling a role you ask them to play so you could have an experience. I cannot count how many times I've heard this rhetoric tossed around casually in spiritual spaces. And honestly, it's appalling. Let's follow this logic all the way through, okay? We've got the soul contract. We're in the pre-birth planning council. We're designing our soul contract. And you say, you know what? Want to know what sounds amazing to me? I would love to experience being mugged at knife point, brutally beaten, and left for dead. Like, that sounds exactly like the spiritual growth opportunity I'm looking for. And the council smiles and says, that's an excellent choice. Let's find a soul out there willing to assault you. And a soul steps forward and says, this sounds like a great idea. I will assault you. And then you're born. And you live your life. You're going along living your life. And then you experience this horror firsthand. You are hospitalized, traumatized, haunted by night terrors, flashbacks, PTSD, and severe anxiety. You endure months, if not years, of recovery, both physical and emotional. You are left with permanent scarring, nerve damage, limited mobility. You fight to rebuild your life from the ashes of the trauma. But according to this spiritual ideology, instead of offering you compassion, honoring your grief, supporting your rage, or seeking justice for the crime that was committed against you, why don't we just support and applaud your perpetrator? Why don't we just say, wow, what a brave soul he was for playing that part for you? I'm not exaggerating. If we accept this belief system at face value that you chose this was part of your contract and you chose this person to harm you, this is exactly where it leads. And I'm here to call it out. This is abuse. This is not spirituality. This is not enlightenment. This is gaslighting survivors and glorifying harm under the false banner of soul growth. Because the reality is, if someone really wanted to experience that, we're actually telling them that they were searching around the pre-earth life, whatever that is, trying to find someone to cause harm to them during their life because they thought that sounded fun. We have to stop spreading this destructive rhetoric. Under those ideas, why would we prosecute anyone? Why would we? You asked them to do it in some life that you don't remember. So we could just look at every abuser, murderer, whatever they are, as like, hey, they were just fulfilling their part of the contract. We don't punish them. We're just like, good job, dude. That was a great mugging you did. Do you see where this goes? Anytime you follow through on a lot of these ideas, it gets really sick and twisted at the end. We need to return to compassion. We need to support survivors without spiritualizing their trauma. Allow them space to feel every emotion that is their own. Grief, rage, terror, numbness, whatever that might be. Without judgment. We need to be prosecuting perpetrators because accountability is not incompatible with spirituality. In fact, accountability is the essence of spirituality because the crime was the choice of the perpetrator, not the victim. And we need to stop saying that it was anything other than that. We need to begin loving, validating, and witnessing survivors as they navigate the hard road of healing because that's what true spirituality is about. That is what unconditional love is. That is what the essence of our soul cries out for, is love. But the spiritual community is not offering it. Real spirituality is not about excusing harm. It's about standing with the wounded and fighting for their right to heal on their own terms. And here's another truth bomb for you. You don't ever have to find meaning in your suffering or for your suffering. You don't have to find meaning. It doesn't need it. It can just be what it was. Suffering, pain, heartache. That's it. It can just be that. We can see these abusive, tragic situations as senseless acts by very broken people who made very horrific choices. End of story. It doesn't need meaning. When I was sexually abused as a 5-year-old child, nothing, and I mean nothing good, came out of that at all. And this is the hill I am willing to die on. I did not learn anything from that as a 5-year-old child. I did not grow from it. Nothing good came out of it but trauma. The only thing that came out of the abuse I suffered throughout my childhood was pain, self-loathing, self-hatred, thoughts of unaliving myself by the time I was 10 years old. Yes. Standing at the medicine cupboard, trying to figure out which one of these medicines would kill me, and becoming too afraid of what else it might do. Because if I wasn't afraid of it causing me to be blind or something worse happening, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. Yes, I survived. But I survived in spite of my trauma, not because of it. I alchemized it. I survived, but it was a hell I will never allow anyone to justify or turn into some spiritualized, toxic, positive narrative that it was not. It was hell, plain and simple, and I won't allow anyone to call it anything else. You can alchemize your suffering into strength without justifying the injustice, without glorifying the suffering. Healing doesn't require you to spiritually excuse what happened to you. It doesn't. It can just be what it was. Now, we're going to move on to the next one because I could rant on that all day long. The distressing side of reincarnation, and I know this is going to ruffle feathers, and I don't care. For those of you who have lived relatively uneventful lives, the idea of reincarnation might seem harmless, maybe even comforting. I gotta try again. But for those who've suffered unimaginable pain, trauma, or tragedy, reincarnation sounds like the cruelest version of hell imaginable. I'd rather go to Christian hell than reincarnation. I'm just saying. Spend just a few minutes reading real conversations about reincarnation online, and you'll see it. Those who truly think this ideology through often find it deeply distressing and anxiety-provoking. The thought that you could be endlessly trapped in a system where your memory is wiped clean and you are forced to return over and over and over again into a world of suffering, with no awareness of what you did wrong last time, trying to live a perfect enough life to finally escape this karmic debt. It doesn't sound like spiritual growth. It sounds like abuse. It mirrors the emotional torment of an abusive father who punishes you harshly for every mistake you make and claiming that it's for your own good without ever giving you a way to succeed or get out. It's easy to sit in comfort and say, sure, I'd come back again. It's a completely different reality for those who would give anything to make their suffering stop. As an adoptive mom in the international adoption community, I've seen firsthand how toxic this ideology becomes when played out in real life. In cultures where reincarnation is embedded in their religious beliefs, children who are born blind, deaf, or physically disabled are often viewed as paying for karmic debt from a past life. Do you see where this is going? These babies, these little children, are seen as deserving of their suffering, of their disability. And because of that belief, they are often denied help, compassion, care, and support. In fact, they're often abandoned by their own parents and left to live in orphanages that cannot even provide their basic needs, let alone the love, care, and resources that these children need to thrive. This is what the idea of karma does, people. If we believe that you come into this life to have to pay for something you did in a past one, why would we care? Why do we care about poverty? You're paying off a karmic debt. I'm not helping you. You're born blind? I have no idea what you did in a past life, but you must deserve it. I'm not helping you. Do you see where this goes? It's toxic. It's abusive. These people, this is not right. They're just working off their karma, right? And so cruelty can be justified in this system. It can. Indifference is normalized because it's karma, baby. Sucks for you. Compassion is withheld in the name of spiritual law. And we see this, we have seen this, and I've heard stories of this in these countries where the idea of karma and reincarnation is solidified. This is the shadow side of reincarnation ideology. You say, oh, no one would do that. They have and they do. It breeds cruelty instead of compassion. It blames the most vulnerable for their suffering. It robs survivors of dignity and humanity. No good can come from blaming someone for their tragedy or misfortune based on a life they don't even remember. But let's take this nightmare even further, because this idea of karma and reincarnation is an absolute nightmare. If this karmic system is real and you're coming back here again, what's to stop your next, quote, lesson in life from being living in brutal domestic violence, barely getting out with your life? Maybe your next lesson is unending poverty and starvation. Maybe torture. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're going to be some prisoner of war somewhere, tortured for years. How do you know? That doesn't scare you at all? You think that sounds like a good plan? The fear this breeds is not spiritual. It's not empowering. It's psychological torment wrapped in religious or spiritual language. And a lot of people have these fears. You say, no, I was a pretty good person. I don't think I'll end up having that lesson. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You don't know. True spirituality should liberate us, not trap us in cycles of fear, blame, and punishment. So I hope you can kind of see the dark side of this idea of karma and reincarnation, because it is very dark. And the problem is, I've seen too many people living in countries where this belief is there, where people turn a blind eye to suffering because they think people deserve it. It is real, and it does happen. And denying that it happens is also a problem. But we love to do that, don't we? Someone else's emotions make us uncomfortable. So we just push it aside. Nah, that can't be real. That must not really be happening. But it is. So let's move into our next topic. And I've talked about this maybe once before, about manifestation and the law of attraction and how it can turn toxic as well if we're not careful. So when we talk about the idea that you create your own reality, we have to be brutally honest about how quickly and how dangerously this belief can slide into victim blaming. Are you really prepared to stand in front of a survivor, someone who narrowly escaped death at the hands of a violent attacker, and tell them, you manifested this? Is that really what we want to offer someone whose life was just shattered by the cruelty of another human being? Do you honestly believe that's helpful or healing for survivors? Because I'll tell you right now, it's not. We need to be very careful with how we approach these conversations, because the reality is simple and undeniable. We do not control the choices of other people. Their decisions are their own. And we should never, ever place the responsibility for a criminal's actions on the person that they harmed. You might wonder why I'm being so direct about this. Maybe you've never personally heard anyone weaponize the law of attraction or manifestation in this way, And if that's the case, consider yourself lucky, because it's more common than you think. It's time we take full responsibility for the toxic narratives we create when we refuse to examine their consequences. This is exactly how high-demand religions, political ideologies, and oppressive cultural systems survive. All of it. And I'm talking politics, too. They keep everything on the surface. They create narratives without telling the full truth. And then dress up harmful beliefs in nice-sounding words and refusing to look at the real-world destruction they leave behind. They all do it. And I'm not saying one side of the political spectrum does it and the other doesn't. They all do it. Every damn one of them does it. And I've seen it. Because Instagram can't figure out who I am and what I stand for. Because I don't subscribe to ideologies. I choose for myself. And if you ask me which side of politics I say that I am a part of, I will say my own. And so I get fed narratives from both sides of the political spectrum. And do you know what I see? I see a story where this side paints it this way and this side paints it this way. And I go look up the story and I go look into things and I find out that they're both lying. The hard truth is every single human ideology, theology, political system, belief system, without exception, has harmful consequences if you trace it far enough. All of them. Yes, we absolutely have influence over our own lives. Our energy, intentions, and focus matter. We can attract beautiful opportunities and experiences and healing. Yes, our frequency matters. But no, we are not the sole creators of every moment, every trauma, or every tragedy that comes into our lives. Because free will exists. And with free will comes unpredictability that we cannot and will never fully control. We are responsible for ourselves, but we are not responsible for the actions of others. And maybe, just maybe, the most spiritual thing we could ever do is admit that we don't know everything. That we can't control everything. That the world is unpredictable, unfair, and heartbreaking. And that's not always something we can fix or manifest away. Victim blaming helps no one. It only deepens the wounds. What the world needs right now is not another toxic mantra. What we need is people willing to lend a helping hand, to sit with the messiness of human emotion, to allow rage, to allow grief, to allow devastation, to allow sorrow. To witness the suffering of another with compassion, without judgment, and without trying to spiritualize it away. It's time we get comfortable being uncomfortable, because real healing requires presence, not platitudes. And I want to give you a reality check. You didn't attract abuse. You survived it. So where do we go from here in the spiritual community? Trauma-informed, empowering spirituality. It's time to rewrite the script. Let's create a new model of spirituality, one that's trauma-informed, rooted in compassion, and radically human. One that holds space for grief, rage, fear, confusion, all of it, without trying to spiritualize it away, without trying to give it meaning. Because somewhere along the way, we became conditioned to fear emotion, to suppress it, to bury it under layers of shame, silence, and spiritual platitudes. Healing doesn't come from avoiding emotion. We know that. It comes from honoring it. And maybe that's the most honest thing we can do as spiritual people, is to admit we don't really know. We don't know what happened before this life. We have theories. We have meditation insights, visions, dreams, sacred texts, and even hypnotherapy sessions that give us symbols, metaphors, and stories. That's all they are. They are not facts. And it's arrogant to interpret them as such. We can marvel at spiritual experiences without turning them into doctrine. We can wonder without needing to explain. We can be in awe without pretending we understand the vastness of consciousness and existence. Maybe we did agree to come into this world. But if we did, we have no idea what that agreement actually entailed. But we do know this. Life is often unfair, and life is very unpredictable. Free will creates chaos, pain, beauty, and everything in between. So instead of claiming people, quote, agreed to be traumatized, let's lead with humility instead. Let's simply acknowledge that we came into an unpredictable world and leave it there. Let our new spiritual foundation be built on unconditional love, compassion, and validation for all of human experience and emotion. Not bypassing, not gaslighting, not minimizing. Spirituality should not be another form of harm. It should be a refuge, a safe place for the brokenhearted, a place where no emotion is too big, where suffering is seen and not explained away, where people are allowed to simply be human, because that's the experience we are having right now. We must be the ones to call out harms in all its forms, because true enlightenment doesn't ignore suffering, it moves toward it with love. Too many spiritual teachers now claim there is no evil. There is no darkness. It's all part of God. It's all the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. But that's not truth. That's spiritual bypassing. That's turning a blind eye to abuse. That's dismissing real pain with a feel-good phrase. It's not enlightenment. It's spiritual blindness dressed up as wisdom. True spirituality does not deny suffering. It acknowledges it, it sits with it, and seeks to heal it. It's time to introduce a new lens, a trauma-informed, spiritually grounded, and fiercely compassionate lens, one that heals, validates, and empowers. Because if our spirituality doesn't make us more loving, more human, and more present with the pain of others, it's not worth having at all. Reclaim your right to question, to rethink, and to rewrite your spiritual beliefs. You are not broken. You are not to blame. And you don't need a spiritual excuse for your pain to be real. So here we are at the crossroads, where spirituality can either become a tool of healing or a weapon. I have exposed today the dark underbelly of spiritual belief systems that were never meant to hold the weight of real human pain. I've called out spiritual gaslighting, bypassing, and toxic positivity disguised as spiritual wisdom. And now, it's time to choose differently. It's time to choose a spirituality that empowers rather than silences, one that validates instead of shames, one that holds space for raw, messy, imperfect humanity, because that's where healing begins. You're not here to be spiritually manipulated into silence. You're not here to carry blame for the harm that was done to you. And you do not have to find meaning in your trauma to be worthy of healing. Your story matters, your pain is valid, and all of your emotions are sacred. So let's build a new way forward where spirituality becomes a refuge, not a reason to suppress your truth. If today's episode spoke to you, share it. Let's start this conversation and let's challenge the narratives. Let's call out the beliefs that wound and stand together for the kind of spirituality that heals. And if you're on a healing journey, if you've struggled, if you've suffered with trauma, and you're ready to explore trauma-informed hypnotherapy, breath work, or spiritual coaching, I'm here to help you. You can connect with me through the link in the show notes, send me a message on Instagram at Tandy Hartle, or go to my website, tandyhartle.com. Let's reclaim spirituality, not as an escape from our suffering, but as a path back to our truth. You are not alone. You are not broken. And you never have to silence your pain to be spiritual.